Today, we're continuing our discussion on depression from the previous episode. We'll dive into cultural and church expectations, then we'll go into deeper biblical reflections and practical encouragement surrounding depression.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Broken and Redeemed podcast, where we dive into real conversations about faith, struggles, and the things we don't always talk about in church. I'm Eric Ferguson.
And I'm Jenny Ferguson.
And I'm Jessica DeVoe.
We're just three friends who love Jesus and aren't afraid to wrestle with the hard questions.
Whether you're married, single, struggling with doubt, or trying to find your place in the church, this podcast is for you.
So grab a cup of coffee, settle in, and let's get started.
Hello, guys. How's it going? It's been a little bit of a rainy day, but it didn't rain as much as they were saying, the weather people, which
is
nice.
That made me happy.
Yes, that made you very happy.
Because I work out in the rain. Woo!
Yes. Faithful posties. Our morning walk, there was a little bit of sprinkles. So we had our umbrellas, but it was beautiful. Like the birds were singing like crazy. It was just a nice morning for a walk. Guys, this is our fifth episode.
Yep.
Congrats to us all. That's wonderful. That's
Yay.
Awesome.
And this is like our third attempt at recording this for reasons.
Yep. Because life is fun. And sometimes you start doing something, you realize you don't have the mental energy to do it, and you're like, you know what?
Or there's technical difficulties.
Or there's technical difficulties. There's that too, yep. On this special fifth episode, okay, maybe it's just a fifth episode, but I'm throwing in something special here. You know what? Let's pick out five favorite categories of things that we can just name off. So welcome to the five faves. Episode 5 edition, I suppose. Number one, what's your favorite food? Jessica, you want to start us off?
Cheesecake.
Cheesecake is delicious, and I believe it. Jenny, what is your favorite food?
Mine is chicken noodle soup with lots of veggies.
Mm.
That's a better option than mine.
Oh, and that chicken noodle soup she's talking about, I've had it, is delicious. It is amazing.
And for dessert, either baklava or kremish.
Ooh, those are so good too.
Or Napolitania.
There's so many good Romanian foods.
It's hard to
I mean, baklava, that's the Greek one you like. Mm-hmm. But oh my goodness, yes. So many good things in Romanian food culture. I've been truly blessed. My favorite food? Oh, golly. My goodness.
Golly?
Yes. Golf balls. What do you want me to say? My favorite food is good grief. I have too many in my head right now. Okay, I got it. Jenny's dad makes an awesome leg of lamb. So good. He marinates it for hours kind of thing, or even like a day. It's long. He marinates it for a super long time, and it's so rich in flavor. Rosemary, oh, garlic, good stuff. So delicious. There's a type of tiramisu that Jenny makes and her mom makes that I really like, and they use fruit and dip the ladyfingers for the tiramisu in like orange juice or something like that. It's super light, very fluffy with the whipped cream and stuff. Is it whipped cream or mascarpone cheese that you guys use?
Both.
They use both. And it's so delicious. And it's very low in sugar, but it's so rich with the fruit and everything. That's one of my favorites that I asked for in the summertime.
I agree.
It's so awesome. Keeping it quick. Favorite video game? Jessica?
It's been a long time since I played this. Zelda Twilight Princess.
Ooh, classic. Jenny, what about you?
Mine is playing Mario Kart on GameCube and trying to beat Jessica.
I mean, you do a good job at that, I gotta say. My favorite video game, it's more of a franchise, but Destiny 1 and 2, I've been playing that game series for 10 plus years now. Off and on, less so now that I'm getting older. But it's just, I love the story, I love the adventure. And I've been playing it since the beta, which is pre-release, I will have you know. Favorite music, genre, or artist?
21 Pilots and Thomas Ferguson.
Oh, both great.
Sorry, I can't just do one.
That's okay.
Yeah, me neither. Mine is musicals like Phantom of the Opera, Fiddler on the Roof, and Les Miserables.
Ooh, those are great. My favorite genre of music is, I don't know what they would call it, but Thomas Ferguson, he's probably one of my favorite soundtrack. Oh, soundtrack. Soundtrack is my favorite genre. Thomas Ferguson being my favorite artist. I love a lot of Christian music as well by different artists, so. Got a big long worship playlist that I like to listen to. Favorite movie?
I'm just going to do a childhood favorite, Mary Poppins.
Oh, classic.
I know how much Karen loves that movie.
That's my mom, by the way. Jenny?
My favorite movies are Quo Vadis and Amazing Grace. Kovadis is a fictional story written in the time of Nero and shows the burning of Rome and persecution of Christians. I remember growing up and watching that. I nerd out because of history. And then also Amazing Grace. That's a movie about William Wilberforce, who's the abolitionist. Through his efforts of a few decades, he was able to outlaw the slave trade across the Atlantic.
In the British Empire. Yeah, that was crazy.
I love the movie.
Kovadis is in an era of big movie sets with thousands of people. It's a fascinating movie to watch for all the people that are involved and the sets. They're enormous.
They used a lot of the sets soon after in the Ben-Hur movie with Charlton Heston. I might be a nerd.
Those movies are classics, though. Amazing movies. My favorite movie is Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, preceded by the Andor 2-season TV show, which is awesome. I love the grit of the people fighting for justice and freedom. And they are the ones that start the rebellion that brings down the Galactic Empire. I just love it. Cool stuff. Okay, favorite place that you've been in the province of Ontario.
Which is where we live.
It's a beautiful province.
Dun, dun. I can't remember the name of the camping site that we went to when I was a teen, because I used to live near North Bay. I used to go camping with my family.
Oh, fun fact. I was up at North Bay a number of years ago, and it's beautiful up there. Jenny, how about you? Favorite place in Ontario?
My favorite place is the High Ropes Climbing at the Wild Play Niagara Falls Whirlpool Adventure Course. That's a mouthful. It is high above the Niagara River, really close to Niagara Falls, and the view is absolutely spectacular.
Sure.
Jenny and Jessica may have some history at that place.
And I may have said I hate her when we were high up there.
Let's
give some backstory. So Jenny's like, hey, I would really like to try this high ropes course before my surgery. And I was like, okay, sure, I'll try something new. I was like, I just hope they don't have like a tightrope on this course. Yeah, they had a tightrope. You basically have to balance yourself when you're high off the ground. And you're like, I feel like I'm going to die. And then we were like halfway through the course and Jenny's, oh, Jessica, look at the view. And I was like, I can't look at the view right now. And you're like, but it's so beautiful. I hate you, Jenny. I hate you so much. And she just starts, she kind of looked at me a little bit concerned, but then she started laughing because she realized I didn't hate her. I just hated being in that situation where I was high off the ground. And I'm like, I never want to do this again.
Oh, yes. My wife in climbing, heights, roller coasters, she goes giddy. She's so happy. It's hilarious. We're us normal people.
Oh, I can do roller coasters.
Well, oh, yeah, that's true. I can't do any. I have to do high ropes. My wife one day will get high ropes, and maybe there will be some pictures of that someday. Pictures of me on roller coasters are great, though. Great conversation starter. Anyway, my favorite place in Ontario is Mikisew Provincial Park. It's halfway between Huntsville, which is near Algonquin Park, and North Bay. I really fell in love with it because the lake to me was unique for lakes that I haven't been on too many lakes in Northern Ontario. I have to admit that. But for the lakes I've been on, like in Algonquin Park and other places, Mikisew is on Eagle Lake and it has these little rocks that jut up in the water and you literally can stand on a rock in the water. And it's tens of meters deep, or it's meters deep. I don't know how deep it is, but it's so deep you can't see the bottom. And you look around and it's all water around you. You can stand in the middle of the lake on a rock and there's all water around you. It's so breathtaking and beautiful. We went on a canoe trip in that lake. There was an island we went to, swam between two islands. Oh, it's so fun.
There was a loon there as well.
Yep. We got pictures of a loon and I think there were loon babies too. It was amazing. Just gorgeous country up there. So yes, episode 5 is underway, guys. Let's get started into the episode.
Jessica, can you give us a recap of episode 4?
So just a quick recap. Last episode, we were talking about how I went into a point where I felt like life had no meaning. That started like 4 years ago. And it wasn't like a persistent thing. Like what we were talking about, it wasn't throughout the 4 years, like just complete depression. It was off and on thing, but then it got really bad last fall. And just working how I got out of that. Actually, I'm going to talk about this because might as well. So last time, I remember you asked me, how are you doing with this? Like, oh, I'm doing better. But let me get real with you for a second. So the last couple of days, actually, my mental health has tanked. And it's really hard when that happens because you don't really want to talk about it. You don't really want to open up about it. And the cool thing is, though, yesterday, Jenny called me in the evening and she's like, hey, I've missed talking to you. I was like, what are you talking about? I talked to you this morning. She's like, yeah, but you kind of just like not messaging me at all today. And are you okay? I'm like, wow, she can just know that I'm off, having an off day. So it was just kind of cool. And we were able just to talk on the phone and talk through what our struggles were that day. And I didn't have to pretend that I was feeling good. I think I said to you, Jenny, when we were talking, I was like, yeah, I don't feel like I deserve to be loved right now. And you're like, why? And I'm just like, I just feel like you're going to abandon me right now. When you're dealing with that, you just really feel like people are just going to leave you. Even though you've proven to me over and over again, that's not the case. There's still a deep part of me that believes that you will.
Yeah, that's really hard. That is really hard. Yeah.
So I'm recording an episode of depression and I've been like struggling with it because it's tied into my doubts and stuff like that. So it's been hard, but that's okay because God's helping me through it and he's given me a community to help me through it, which is cool.
Yeah, that's really awesome. This is strange for most people, but I've never had a job interview in my life. Most of the jobs I've gotten were through connections of people I knew. And so today I had the very first job interview of my life. I'm 32 and having my first job interview. I felt good right after the interview, and then it started hitting me some of the things that I said that I maybe should have said differently and stuff like that, and I got really depressed after that. It was really sad because I just felt like I was a total failure, even though I've never had a job interview in my life. It's not like I should be great on my first interview. Looking back on it now after some time and working through it, I feel better about it. It just felt terrible for a bit. And then my wife came along, picked me up, and not physically, though. I'm too heavy.
I think she would break.
Yeah, probably. But she emotionally, spiritually picked me up and dusted me off. And it's like, hey, yeah, you may have said some things that you probably should have said differently, but she's like, you did okay. And I just thought back on it. And yeah, it was a good interview. And I'm thankful for it. And I was able to learn some stuff from it. So that way, when I have another interview someday, I can do better.
Leading into that, guys, I have a question. What are some conceptions that people in the church or outside the church may have about mental health?
Ooh, that's a good question. It's got two facets to it.
Do you want to take a stab at that?
Thinking back to some of the things that I thought about depression growing up in the church background that I was a part of, I felt like a lot of it was people just need to get over their problems. I acknowledge that is a very bad thing to think. And I feel very bad about thinking that. But by God's grace, I've come to know people and come to understand some things better. And it's not that simple. I've even been going through a lot in recent months with losing my job and being depressed about things that I'm coming to realize in my life. Difficulties in finding work. Things come and go and I discover things about myself that I didn't realize were a big deal and now are a big deal. And sometimes things are really depressing and I get really down and really sad. And now I look back and I'm like, wow, how could I think that it's just simply get over it? Be happy. Be joyful. You don't need to feel that bad. That's the one thing that comes to mind right away.
Yeah, I think depression wasn't really talked about that much either. You were like, it was kind of looked down upon or just not understood. And even the word mental health, ugh, one of those people talk about mental health. Like, come on. That's just an excuse. That's just a crutch.
I want to be careful how I say this because I don't want to paint everybody with the same brush, but there was a general like negative attitude towards mental health as a topic because I think what was happening is it was simplified and then it was knocked down as a non-issue. By God's grace, a lot of people that I know have actually learned a lot more about mental health, like I have too. Back in the 90s, the 2000s, mental health was not really talked about that much. And it was more of you got to get a grip on your life and you got to deal with your problems. This is how life is. You got to move forward. That was both culturally outside the church and in the church, I would say, at that time.
Something just came to my mind. Though I feel like mental health stuff, depression is more aware of now in the church, there's still a huge stigma behind it in a lot of circles. And this is something that me and Jenny listened to a few weeks ago. I'm not going to name the person, but it was a well-known public figure, a pastor. This person basically said in front of his congregation that there's no such thing as mental health. There's no such thing as ADHD. There's no such thing as PTSD. And I was shocked that this pastor said that. If there's anyone in that congregation that struggles with that stuff, you have just closed the door for them to being open about their mental health struggles. One of the things the pastor said
was, yeah, we don't have that here because we have basically the joy in the Lord. And that was something that I remember growing up thinking, I can't possibly be a Christian because I don't have this continuous joy. Just because some people may not struggle with doubting and depression, you need to have empathy towards people who do. I don't understand how a pastor could just make a blanket statement, because not only are you ostracizing some of your congregants, unbelievers are looking in and be like, how could you just make a statement like that? Like, these things don't exist, especially when they're in the field. PTSD is definitely a thing. ADHD is a thing. And it's funny because I used to look down my nose at ADHD and be like, oh, that's just a label that people want as an excuse. But now I don't see it that way. I see it as like you're understanding how your brain works. It might be differently from someone else's, and it's understanding how you function better and giving yourself the tools to know how you can equip yourself.
Yeah, I identify with that. It's interesting. I've gone from that mentality of these things are not real. It's just people making excuses to make a quick buck off the government or other things. It's just nasty. I will label it nasty stuff that I've thought. And I've come from that to understanding it better and believing that those things are real. These struggles that people have, these mental health issues are real, to being diagnosed with it myself. I've been diagnosed with ADHD, and I've been taking steps to help myself finally after, I don't know, 20 years of struggling with, as far as I can remember, I've struggled with learning, reading, functioning in some capacities. And now I'm getting help and it's working. And it's amazing. I can think clearly. My mind is not full of chatterbots chittering around. It's really nice.
It's crazy the focus he has now. Who are you and what have you done with my husband?
I'm still here, mind, body, and soul. Praise the Lord. And again, there will be people out there that will say that what I'm doing is I'm not trusting God for the outcome. People accuse me of giving in to science and medicine and other things. But the thing is, these are tools. I firmly believe in using the tools as a means to get yourself better, get yourself to a point where you're functional so that you can learn to maintain yourself in life. And so that's where I'm at. That's what I'm doing. I'm using tools.
Make a career change?
Yeah, it's helping me make a career change. I still struggle, like I was talking earlier. I get depressed. It's a big change in my life. I'm 32. I worked in the same industry for 14 years, 8 years at my previous job. So the change to me is a shocker, honestly. On top of that, I've had trouble concentrating. I've had trouble with reading. The steps that I'm taking now are helping me do better at concentrating. I can concentrate 8 to 10 hours of my day at a time now, whereas before it was very hard to concentrate at all. And so to be able to concentrate for 8 hours straight to me was revolutionary. The first day I started my treatment was insane. I could not believe it.
How much were you able to edit that day?
I edited episode 4 in its entirety in one day. Not that I would do this regularly, but I did it. Then I went through it again on a loose edit with my wife to double check grammar and stuff like that in our transcript. And I had never done that before. It took me days to get through our previous episodes because I just could not focus. My mind was just so easily sidetracked. Now things are a lot clearer and I can focus better. I still have some things I struggle with. I still struggle with reading because I'm not well read. I listen a lot of things. And reading has always been difficult for me. So that muscle is not as well exercised for me. But I have a little bit better focus, which helps me do some more reading. And so I can develop and get better with that. There's a lot of hope in using tools. Folks, use them. Use them and don't apologize. And use them with purpose. You got to put in work. I've had to put in work. I still have to put in work.
I look at it as God has given us the gift of modern medicine, and there's times like this where it's good.
Going into specifics, what are some other unhelpful comments or suggestions said to you?
So when you are vulnerable enough and you open up how you're struggling, you get, oh, it's not as bad as other people. It's not as bad as what I'm going through. It's not as bad as what other people are going through. You should be thankful. So when you're having, say, sadness or whatever it is, you start trying to tell yourself, okay, I shouldn't be like this because I have the gospel, I have Jesus, I have food, I have water, I have a good family. And you're like, why is this still lingering? Okay, just read your Bible more, just pray more, just listen to the music, and you're doing all the things and it's still there. So you think, okay, there's something wrong with me. I mean, there is something wrong. We're all broken. But instead of acknowledging that, you can't express it because there's just I think, a disdain about people who struggle with these things. You're an annoyance and you're a burden. Has anyone said specific things to me? Maybe not directly to me, but just the conversations people have around it. Oh, why are they like that all the time? You just hear conversations. I pick up things from people. And maybe because sometimes I can mask myself a little bit more than other people. Not all the time, but sometimes I can. So I can pick up conversations from people and what people think about mental health stuff.
Yeah. And I also want to speak to the idea that marriage will fix some of these issues because you have companionship. You've got a friend, you've got someone you can talk to, you got someone that can help you through these things in life. No, marriage isn't a problem solver. In fact, maybe this is a hot take, marriage can be a problem amplifier because it exposes things in your life that either you didn't know about or that were side issues to you that you thought were handled. Those things can lead to depression and anxiety. Looking at my own marriage, there have been a lot of things that I've had to deal with that I didn't deal with when I was single because I just didn't realize how big of an issue they were. By God's grace, I have a loving wife. She has lovingly bared with me for almost 5 years now and helped me work through so many things and continues to work through things with me, which I thank God for. I've helped her with the same. She's had a lot of stuff that she struggled with in her life. And I've helped her with those things. I've loved her and held her and cried with her and laughed with her and all kinds of things through our marriage. We keep going because at the end of it, we're both broken human beings and we both need help. And we're the first line when it comes to helping each other. We have friends we talk to and stuff about challenges, but really, marriage can make it harder. I don't say that to scare people away from marriage. It's a wonderful thing, and it's a beautiful challenge. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. That may sound crazy to some people. If you've experienced all this pain and depression, why do you keep going? Why don't you free yourself? Well, quite frankly, I believe that if I were to quote-unquote free myself from this, it would just lead me down something worse, where my relationships would get shorter, and I wouldn't be sanctified as a person. Not to mention, I made a promise for the rest of my life. So that's that for me. But it's not easy. I get it. It's not easy. I praise God for his help in it, though.
What are some ways we can help someone with depression?
I can't speak for everyone, but I will speak to what has helped me. So when you're opening up to someone about your struggles, this could be actually any struggle, especially someone who's in a very broken place and their heart feels very heavy. If someone like chooses to open up to you, listen to them with empathy. And don't be ready to just Bible thump them. When someone opens up to you, are you patient with them? Are you showing kindness, gentleness? Like I'm thinking of 1 Corinthians 13, not being easily irritated. When you're in a place because you want help and you're scared of being rejected, you're scared of being abandoned, you're scared of that person just tossing you by the wayside. And then if that happens, you just end up, I'm just never going to open up ever again because that was too painful. I'm going to read you a text where I was in a really bad place. And this is what I texted Jenny. This is when she was in Romania with Josette. She wasn't home yet, but I did not know who to talk to. And I just felt I was not in a good place. And I felt like this is a good example of how Jenny helped me. So I told Jenny, I feel like a burden, but I need prayer. My mental health has been real bad this past week, and I don't want to reach out to anyone because I fear rebuke, annoyance, disgust, a burden, being gossiped about, lack of understanding, being brushed aside, being told to just pray and read the Bible without giving clear instruction of what that even looks like. Just eat better. I have been trying to break my addiction. Then it's your fault because you clearly don't want it enough, or you try harder. There is no compassion. I haven't told anyone else this, but please don't tell, but I nap for 2 hours today to shut out my head and my emotions. I want to stay there because my dream world was an adventure rather than waking up to reality. I was sad waking up. I feel like I'm a burden because how can I dump this on you when you have your own struggles? I miss you. And then I put in quotes, you only miss her because you're using her to appease your feelings. Someone help me break these chains. God, where are you? I am listening to scripture, but it's not sinking in. Quote, obviously, you're not really wanting healing or not paying attention because God heals the brokenhearted. But why hasn't he healed you? I'm listening to Psalm 103, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his faithful love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgression from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows we are made of dust. How can he love me? Everyone else thinks I'm repulsive. So why shouldn't God? It's how everyone treats depression. Even if you don't have the answers, please don't leave me. And when I wrote, please don't leave me, I was bawling my eyes out because I truly believed that Jenny was gonna, oh my goodness. So when I texted her that, I actually was at a point in my life where if I opened up about my level of struggle, that I was going to be abandoned and that she was going to be disgusted with me and just abandon our friendship. And that is really hard place to be. And it is such a mental struggle. And when I deal with mental health stuff, I literally have like another voice, it feels like, in my head attacking me all the time with negative thoughts. And it's constant, nonstop. And be like, just read the Bible. Like, I am literally trying to meditate on scripture. But when you're having like this constant war in your head, sometimes you need someone else outside yourself to help you. I think he brought me to that point. So I was able to open up to Jenny and even to you now, Eric, and a few other people in the church. And now a lot of people in the church are going to know about my mental health struggle. And it's awkward, a little bit awkward. Because people are like, oh, yeah, and listen to your podcast. I was like, ha, 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 yay. But it's also just knowing that people can actually help you out more, knowing that, hey, this person actually really struggles with this. And I can know ways of helping them out. That's, yeah, one of the things that really help is just Jenny being by my side and not abandoning me as a friend.
Mm-hmm. One of the things, too, when you open up like that, you will find as you work through stuff, there will be people that will be working through things that you had worked through maybe a day ago, maybe a week ago, maybe a month ago. You start talking about it and they'll be like, man, I'm glad you talked about that. That really helped me get through this too. I get where you're at. You'll discover people struggling with stuff that you had no idea were struggling with things. Sometimes at our Crossroads group, talk about things that I struggle with, particularly in my marriage, lack of patience sometimes, or I don't know, just some relational things. And I bring that up sometimes at Crossroads when it's applicable for prayer requests or whatever. A friend of mine who's usually there as well, we're about similar age. He and I both opened up to each other talking about our struggles and different things because we actually have very similar personalities and very similar struggles. So we'll talk to each other about what are you doing for this or what are you doing for that sometimes. I didn't know I struggled with that. And then I didn't even know that we were similar personalities. And that was just because one night I had opened up and I had said, pray for me for these things. I'm struggling with these things. So it's really hard going through it, but it's really wonderful when you do find a friend to go through it with, like you were saying.
Yeah.
And then when you find that friend and you're working through things and then you start talking to more people, like you said.
And it's really hard to build up your trust with someone.
It is. It is hard. But then you bless so many other people too. You end up forming a community that you didn't even know existed.
Yep. Because the thing is, sometimes you can open up to people and you get really burned by that.
Yes.
I acknowledge that happens because, oh, just go seek a friend. And some people do that and then they get really burned.
Yeah.
So it's really hard.
It's hard to find the right people sometimes.
Should I also talk about another story where Jenny helped me out again?
Sure. Do it. Okay. Go for it.
So I remember when I wrote this, you're like, wait, what do you mean Greenfield Village? This was way back in December last year.
I didn't even know this was happening when it happened. Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah. There was a lot of us that went from church. So people who are listening to this from church be like, what? Yeah, these things can happen. Like, you don't know what people are struggling with. Maybe there's other people. Maybe they were struggling with stuff too. Anyway, so I was excited to go, but then I could just feel a heaviness just tugging. It was just there, just resting on my chest. This sadness, heavy sadness. Sometimes I can pinpoint why I'm like that. Sometimes it just feels like there's absolutely no explanation. We were going to this Greenfield Village. I'd never been there before. I was like, yes, this is exciting. But it's just the entire time I could just feel, it was like a crushing just sadness there. I don't want this here. I don't want to ruin anyone's evening. So I'm just going to keep this to myself. I'm not going to tell anyone about it. Okay. Throughout the night, we're just walking and we got this little old car, this little buggy thing. Just drive. Oh, this is so fun.
Model T car.
Oh, yeah, the Model T car.
Yeah.
I could feel like excitement coming up and then just got crushed again. It was so weird. It was just, I can describe it as you have a sparking flame and it gets snuffed out. Like a little candle. And it was like the entire night I tried to muster up like, okay, this is a good place. I'm with friends. I'm having a good time. And it just would not allow me to be happy. This doesn't make any sense. So I'm carrying this burden by myself the entire night. And then Jenny, at the end of the night, she starts limping a bit. And I was like, are you okay? Jenny, what did you say?
Yeah.
And then I looked at you and I was like, but are you really?
No.
Because you knew I would reap right through you. And it's like, and then because I knew you were physically, because your hypermobility does that to you, your body just gives out on you. And I know you feel like a burden. Instead of letting you do that, I told you this, you know, this is what I'm going to. And you're like, yeah, I figured you were going through something tonight. And I was like, oh, crap. But it was weird. Just like acknowledging it to a friend, even if it wasn't completely gone, it just felt lighter. And it's like we were able to walk with each other and just carry each other's burden.
Literally, you helped carry me.
Yeah, I was
a bit there because of all the walking.
Mm-hmm. You're leaning upon me.
I was getting at the point. Yes.
What was I going to say? Oh, because sometimes when you are dealing with this heavy burden, you don't want to unload to anyone else. I don't want to share that because I don't want to ruin. Because Jenny was just like, oh, look at you. She was like so excited and so happy. I was like, how can I dim her joyful demeanor? How could I bring her into that?
But then she told me, I was like, thank you for telling me. And my joy is not diminished.
Yeah, when she said that, I was like, wait, it's not? Because that's what people make it seem like. If you bring that into open, people are like, oh, wow. Again? But you Jenny's just, not like that.
You just sucked the life out of the party.
Yeah. Party pooper.
You know what? Okay, be honest, people. If you haven't said it, you probably have thought it at some point in your lives. I had no idea that was going on. And when I found out about it later, it brought such joy to my heart because there was a great example of my wife being a friend to a friend in a really dark time, and they both supported each other through it. And that's a beautiful thing. Really thankful for that. We kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, but what stops someone with depression from asking for help?
For one, they feel like they're a burden, ruining someone's happiness, which I kind of touched on.
Mm-hmm.
They feel unwanted, dismissed, shut down, and gossiped about.
Yep. You kind of feel like you're an attention seeker.
You feel ashamed. I shouldn't struggle with this. I have nothing to be sad about because I'm a Christian.
It's kind of the get over it culture.
Yeah, we talked about that. They don't want help. They're so shut down. They've been so burned that they don't want help.
Oh, yeah. You convince yourself that it's not that bad.
That one hurts a lot because that's usually come about from a lot of probably people gaslighting you, telling you it's not that bad.
Yep.
And then you just believe it or convince yourself of it.
Jenny, what are some of your experiences with depression?
I've had seasons of deep discouragement, but I didn't always recognize them as depression because I would compare myself to people who are struggling worse than me. I thought, well, I'm not suicidal, so I guess I don't really have it that bad. That mindset made it hard for me to acknowledge my own struggles and ask for help. And that comparison can be so dangerous because it makes people think their pain isn't valid unless it reaches some extreme. But that's just not true. Depression exists on a spectrum and affects people in different ways.
That is absolutely true.
Yep, and I like that thought because it's not the same for everybody. It's very nuanced.
Now we'll dive into some deeper reflections and biblical perspectives. In our experiences, what have been some sinful responses when depressed?
My personal experience, that doesn't mean it applies to everyone across the board, but sometimes I can be a little self-absorbed when I get sad or like this weight upon me or depression or doubts or whatever it is. I think it's acknowledging that I do that. That's why I need to push outside myself and seek help rather than letting the internal conflict continue to fester, if that makes sense. There's other things that I would say I can lean into my unhealthy coping mechanisms, whether that's my bad eating habits. It could be social media scrolling when I know I should be dealing with this heart issue, or I just want to find a way to get rid of it. I want to get rid of the pain. I want to get rid of the emotions. So I will cope in ways that are not, I would say, seeking God. I know they're bad, but sometimes I just automatically just go there because it's such a
it's such a habit to do. Mm-hmm. There's such unhealthy patterns, and I have been trying to break them for a long time. And sometimes I feel like, yes, I'm successful. I'm not doing it anymore. And then it comes back and you're like, oh, and Jenny knows that I've been open about this with her. Like, I don't know how to break this, because when I'm really down in the groove, I just go back to, Jessica, well, why aren't you doing other things? Oh, I have tried to replace them. But when you've been dealing with something for such a long time, so I know when some of these coping mechanisms started, and if they've been such a pattern in your life, sometimes it's really hard to break. So those can be sinful tendencies that I lean upon, and I do bring them to God.
Yeah, and I identify with the self-absorption a lot. I tend to really get focused on me being a failure. Nobody likes me. Nobody wants to deal with me. I literally fold in on myself emotionally and mentally and almost put like a hard shell around me for a time. It's really hard to break out of that sometimes. I get it. The ways I do break out of it is, well, one, my wife is reminding me of truth about God and reminding me that I have abilities, that I am worth something, that I have value as a human being. Those things help get me out. Sometimes, too, I want to avoid responsibility or just play video games or, you know, watch random YouTube stuff or kind of do my own thing. And I'll get agitated when I can't do that sometimes, which is not good either. But it is hard to break out of that sometimes. It can be different for people.
I think another thing is allowing your emotions to dictate what is true.
Mm-hmm.
I feel this, therefore, that's what how it's going to be. I'm saying this with grace towards myself, because when you're in it, it's very, very hard. Say you have lies that you start believing or negative thoughts. Well, God just doesn't care about me right now. So that must be true. That's not what scripture says.
Mm.
I can get very cynical and just very pessimistic, and it's not good. And it's just learning how to deal with those negative thoughts and negative emotions when they come up. And also, I think giving yourself to grace, knowing that sometimes I get such self-loathing of myself. I don't believe other people can love me or God can love me in those low moments, but it's realizing that God still loves me in my valleys just as much as he loves me in my spiritual highs, the mountaintops.
I wanted to bring up a few scriptures that have come to my mind over the last several weeks through a couple sermons that my pastor preached, and one that came to my mind today. They are from Galatians, Thessalonians, and Hebrews. So the first one from Galatians that struck me, Paul is speaking to the Galatians about lifting one another up in Galatians 6. And in verse 2, he says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That is something that we must do as believers, is bear with one another and lift one another up. And when we don't have the patience to hear each other out, however long it takes, we really need to step back and check our souls. Another verse is 1 Thessalonians 5:13. This is Paul speaking. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. I feel like this verse oftentimes gets pulled out quite frequently. And the, we urge you, brothers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with them all, kind of gets a little left off to the side.
I think we also don't like seeing ourselves as the faint-hearted.
Exactly. And you know what? We are. We as human beings are faint-hearted, and we need to bear with one another. We need to encourage each other. When we're faint, when we're weak, when we're feeling helpless, we should not be bludgeoning each other with quote-unquote truth. We should be gentle and loving and kind and bearing with one another. That can be anything from sitting silent with a friend, maybe crying with them, but just holding them and just being there for them, to when they're asking questions, giving thoughtful, careful responses. The other verse I wanted to look at was in Hebrews 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus, in his humanity, struggled. He was tempted, and he was prone to the weaknesses that we experience as human beings. Jesus experienced great sorrow, great sadness, struggle, temptation, just as we struggle and are tempted. Even though he didn't sin, he still struggled. He was human like we are, and he struggled. I emphasize that for a reason, is because Christ was human as we are, so he understands us in our state, in our weakness.
Emotional struggles.
Our emotional struggles, our physical struggles, our mental struggles. He had to fight through it all too. Praise him that he didn't sin, because he is the sacrifice for our sins that we needed. And because of that, he intercedes before the Father on our behalf, fully understanding us, each and every one of us. That is a wonderful thing. That's a comforting thing. I don't think about that often enough, actually. Not that it turns your mind instantly and solves your problem, but it helps. These problems aren't necessarily instantly solved. Some people I've known that have struggled with things and then they change right away, but I find that that's not always the case. That's more of the unusual side. There's often more people that struggle that we don't know, and they struggle for long periods of time.
The stories you hear about more are the ones that you're like, oh, instant victory. Those right. are the ones that kind of are like...
They're very flashy.
Very flashy, and it's like, but that's not the rule for everyone.
No, it's not. Praise God for those people. That's great for them. I'm happy for them.
Yeah, they're amazing stories.
But, yes, but we also keep our ears open and our eyes open for those who are struggling quietly, but still have this great faith, even in the midst of their struggles, and listen to those people, because they can encourage us.
One of my favorite things about scripture is that it doesn't hide the realities of human suffering. The Psalms, especially, show a full range of emotions, from deep despair to joyful praise. Psalm 42:11 says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him." For years, I've been listening to songs that talk about our struggles as Christians and help build us up through scripture. These vary from Christian Romanian songs to English songs that have helped me when struggling with depression. My favorite are psalms put to music. Being able to remember psalms whenever we need them is so helpful in our Christian walk. I know the next two songs are by DreamWorks, and I know I don't get my theology for them, but they have helped me tremendously when I have been depressed and too sad to come up with words on my own. I sing these songs, and it helps me reorient myself on the spot. Just like God knew all things would work out for good when Joseph sat in prison for doing no wrong, God knows what I am going through and has grown my faith through trials that he will work things out good for me too, even if it is not in my timing or what I think is best. The first song is "You Know Better Than I" from Joseph King of Dreams movie, and I'm going to read the lyrics. "I thought I did what's right. I thought I had the answers. I thought I chose the surest road, but that road brought me here." He's in prison, right? "So I put up a fight and told you how to help me. Now, just when I have given up, the truth is coming clear. You know better than I. You know the way. I've let go the need to know why, for you know better than I. If this has been a test, I cannot see the reason, but maybe knowing I don't know is part of getting through. I tried to do what's best, but faith has made it easy to see the best thing I can do is to put my trust in you." I love the song. The next song helps me remember that my life is a thread in the tapestry of God's grand design, and my worth lies in what God thinks of me, not man. And it's called "Through Heaven's Eyes," and it's from The Prince of Egypt. "A single thread in a tapestry, though its color brightly shines, can never see its purpose in the pattern of the grand design. And the stone that sits on the very top of the mountain's mighty face, does it think it's more important than the stones that form the base? So how can you see what your life is worth or where your value lies? You can never see through the eyes of man. You must look at your life through heaven's eyes."
Mm. I love those two songs. I know you send them to me.
Yeah, they're really good.
Then there's this one. It's called "His Peace." And the English is a little off because I put in Google Translate. And that's okay. "Often you've been in the dark clouds of sadness, which have hidden the beauty of heaven. And crying, you fell discouraged, burdened by the ever-increasing burden of worry that robs you of the joy of worship. You feel alone, tired, abandoned. His peace calms the tide in every storm, and to his breast he gathers the wounded. His peace refreshes your soul and life and brings the morning after the night, and he dispels your fear by faith. Have the courage to lift your sad gaze from the dust. A hand is stretched out to you today that breaks every chain that bound you. You know, there is power in the blood of his sacrifice for the lost who want salvation, you are under the protection of the Most High.
Wow. That is so good.
So much good theology in that song.
Yes.
And the last one, I have a house in heaven. It is in multiple languages in Eastern Europe. I've heard it in Romanian, Russian, and different other languages. And I just love the song so much. I'm Romanian. I love music. The music is awesome. The song as well. I have a house in heaven, my country. My father is waiting for me. All around me here, there is fog. The fog is ahead, but my longing rises to my country. Often my heart hurts, but it will be happy in my country. And when the Lord suffered, he promised me the brilliant crown in my country. Short and difficult is my way here, but it will end at my eternal home. The earth will remain. I'll fly out of the world like a snowflake. Sadness will end in my country. I will be chosen in glory, my dear homeland. Come, my country. There will be no more pain, only holy consolation. Tears will be wiped away in my country. I love these songs. There's a lot of Romanian songs that talk about the everyday trials that us Christians go through, whether it's spiritual trials, physical trials, emotional trials, and actually mentions trials, how God helps us through it, because suffering is not. Growing up hearing these songs, they've become a part of my faith and how I live out my faith. Trials are here to help us grow in our faith. And just having been through a lot the last few years, I just feel that even more. A lot of these songs talk about being depressed and how God helps us through that. He doesn't dismiss our struggles. He loves us through it. He actually understands because he went through stuff like we talked about earlier. And there's also a lot of songs that talk about the hope we have in heaven that is coming with no more trials and suffering. So there's so many songs, and I love it because I memorize best through song. So then I'm able to, at the moment that I need these words most, the lyrics come to my head and it reminds me of the words right when I need it. And there's also older hymns as well, and newer hymns and newer songs. They just come in right when I need them. And it's encouragement, and yeah, and it really helps when I'm depressed because I have theology at my fingertips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And can I just point out something really awesome about that last Romanian song? Can we appreciate how there were 9 references to our homeland and our country as Christians? Because that is truly where our hope lies. Even as dark as this world is, we have something better coming. Tolkien described it in a sense as a far green country in The Lord of the Rings. And I love that analogy. And is, yeah, I just love that song for that. It's a really great song.
And there's many more.
Mm-hmm. So many more.
What did you encourage me to do today when I was struggling with,
I encouraged you to listen to some songs.
Yeah, because songs are helpful. And yep. Even though it didn't really, like, my spirits were still not uplifted per se, but just listening to the lyrics of the song. There was actually one song I was listening to on repeat today. I'm just going to keep listening to this, even though my heart doesn't feel this way.
Mm-hmm. I've done the same.
Yeah, the two I suggested today were Day by Day. That's an older hymn, and then There Will Be a Day. Yeah.
Those are great songs as well, yeah.
And they talk about,
look to the future.
And also the day-to-day struggles. God helps us with every passing moment. Strength we find to meet our trials here.
Mm-hmm. We do. Yes. Amen.
See, they're just straight from song.
Yeah. That's why songs are so wonderful and they're so helpful. That's why Paul says, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making praise in our hearts to the Lord.
So yeah, if you would like to hear these songs that I mentioned, there will be links in the show notes.
Mm-hmm. There will be. Check it out. Also, I really love Matthew 11:28. Because depression is hard, but God walks through our depression with us. He walks through it with us. That's just a wonderful thing, and it comforts me. And sometimes it takes a little bit for that comfort to set in. It's not always instant. But in Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And then he goes on into verse 29, where he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Because we're not doing it alone. We're not doing this life alone. We're doing it with someone. We're doing it with God. And that's a huge comfort, I know, to me. And he doesn't just tell us to snap out of it. He loves us even in our depression. And he bears with us. And he lifts us up and encourages us even in our depression. So yeah, I love that verse. Those verses, I should say, for that reason.
If you have a friend struggling with depression, please don't feel like you have to fix them. Most of the time, we're not looking for solutions. We just need someone to be there. Ask how they're doing, check in, invite them into your life, even if they're struggling, and pray for them. Be patient. Healing isn't linear, and some days are harder than others. And please, don't make people feel like a burden just because they're struggling. That feeling of being too much keeps so many people silent. And for those who struggle with depression, know this. You are not alone, and your feelings are not a sign that God has abandoned you. Lamentations 3:22-23 says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning."
Can I just say I love those verses? And there is a song that has those verses in it. Maybe I'll link to that in the show description too.
While depression can lead to sinful responses, it isn't inherently sinful. It's part of living in a broken world. This is where we as the church need to do better. Instead of quick fixes or judgment, we need to sit with people in their suffering, like Job's friends did, at least before they started talking too much. Romans 12:15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep." Sometimes the best thing we can do is just be present and listen. Speaking of learning to listen, I've recently heard of this amazing website that is rich with many resources related to mental health struggles in the church. It even describes the Spiritual First Aid Certificate course that teaches believers how to care for folks dealing with past trauma. It looks fantastic. The course can be completed online or in person. A local church in our area is looking to use it as they reach out to folks with mental health struggles and folks facing homelessness. Go check it out at www.spiritualfirstaid.org. The link will be in the show notes. I think this is an amazing way for us to learn how to weep with those who weep and show empathy while reflecting Christ's love to the world.
That's really important. Finding resources, finding supports and help are very important. As we've said throughout this episode and the previous episode, finding community to get through those dark times is super important. Struggling alone, I know for myself, oftentimes trying to struggle through things alone can make my depression worse, make me turn inward more. And yes, it's hard to break out of that cycle, but talking with friends or getting therapy, finding a Christian counselor, or finding good resources online are, I would say, essential to helping you break out.
On a side note, I'm going to talk about therapy. Dun, dun, dun. So I had the idea that therapy was for people who went through severe trauma in their childhood. It's not like I was ever against it. A lot of people don't know this, but I'm going to talk about it because I feel like I can. So this was when I had really bad mental health struggles. This was months ago. And I had a couple friends recommend that I go to therapy. And at first, I was a little bit resistant at the idea. Not because I'm against therapy itself, because like, well, I didn't really have that bad of a childhood. But then I ended up signing up for therapy. And I have been going since last October or November. And she's an excellent therapist. She's a Christian therapist. And oh, what do you talk about in therapy? I'm not talking about people. I talk about when I go to therapy, it's usually I talk about how I respond to things. And it's working through why am I responding to things the way I'm responding. And it has been such a resourceful tool for me to work through that. It's a good resource. And it's a solid resource. It's not something that I'd be like, oh, that's only for certain type of people. I have been really blessed by my therapist. And she is a godly person. And she knows her scripture. And just having someone who actually is not even within your circle too. Like she's outside. So she sees things maybe in a different way that other people don't. And she just has like a different perspective on things. And you're like, oh, wow, that's actually really useful. And things I've been learning in therapy, I've been actually able to help Jenny out with stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So like things that I'm learning and the thing is, oh, you don't want to go to therapy because you're in your own bubble. I'm not doing it within my own bubble because I actually have a few people that I'm like, what do you think about this? Like I will talk to Eric and Jenny about stuff. And it's not like I'm doing it within my own
And then she's been giving me resources that I... Should I mention the resources?
Yes,
so one of the book is The Search for Significance. There's a lot of things that I've been like unpacking. And that book has to do with people-pleasing, rejection, your sense of worth. Like the way the guy wrote the book, he's very scriptural in how he explains. Like understanding yourself, like why do I react the way I react? It's very helpful and very insightful. And then you can start working on patterns that you've had for a long time. You're like, that is not a healthy pattern. That is not a healthy mindset. Sometimes you get tongue-tied and you talk over your words.
Yep.
Anyway, I am using that resource to better understand myself and to actually help other people too. Because I am able to understand myself, I can actually understand other people how. And you realize people are so layered in how they do things. And it's just like, sometimes things are simple, sometimes they're not as simple.
Layers like an onion.
Layers. People got layers. But yeah, I'm still in therapy and I actually, it's been good. It's good. And here's the funny thing. Actually, it's not a funny thing because when I first started therapy, I actually came to your guys' house because it's a virtual call and I did not want anyone to know about it because it just felt very private and very personal. There's still, I think, some stigma around that in the church.
Mm-hmm.
I think you don't have to be at a severely bad place in order to go to therapy.
No.
It's just working through baggage because everyone has it because everyone is broken and everyone's a sinner. So we all have it.
Broken and redeemed.
And it's just, I think, choosing how you want to work through that. Broken and redeemed. Yeah. So thank you for giving me the safe space in order to do that.
I'm glad we were able to do that because I noticed it really eased your burden a lot. Like you just had a sigh of relief. You're like, I just have a space. I can do it. And I'm glad we were able to do that for you. It's a pleasure.
If you're looking for what to say and how to talk to someone struggling with their mental health, I highly recommend checking out what the Center for Addiction and Mental Health has put together. They give practical do's and don'ts when talking to a friend, coworker, or family member who's battling mental illness. We'll put a link to the recommendations in the show notes.
A couple resources I would recommend. One is a podcast by Preston and Jackie Hill-Perry. They have struggled through a lot in their lives, and by God's grace, they've come through so many things, so many trials. They have an episode on depression, and I can't remember which one it is, so I would recommend you go look them up. Their podcast is called With the Perrys, so check them out and look up the episode on depression, but there are also other episodes they have on other struggles with mental health issues, so I highly recommend them. And a book I would recommend, Gentle and Lowly, by Dane Ortlund. It was revolutionary for me in my mindset of who Jesus is and how Jesus sees me as a person. It was like unlocking a new facet, my understanding of Christ that I had no idea. So it was very encouraging, very uplifting, made me emotional at times because I began to grasp how much Jesus loves me. And so I encourage you to read that book. It's a true blessing.
I agree.
Some other resources that I can think of off the top of my head is Counseling Talk by Nine Marks. They are actually counselors who have sat beside people and worked through. And even their first few episodes is on suicide. Even if you've never struggled with that, just learning about that, how to help someone and walk through them with that, I think is very resourceful as Christians, because we should be knowing how to help brothers and sisters who might be walking down that path.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very important. This is an episode that was actually recommended to me by a friend, and I think it's very insightful. I don't actually listen to their podcast. I've only listened to the one episode, but I'm going to recommend the one episode because it is them talking about specifically about depression. And this is actually someone who is, she's really knowledgeable about depression and mental health issues. It's called Depression in the Church, The Dangerous Lie We Need to Stop Telling. We will link that in the show notes. And also, this is a resource that I've been listening to a lot, his podcast. His name is Mark DeJesus. I find his resources very useful. His specific ministry is towards people who struggle with mental health and depression and legalism and the effects that's had, because he grew up Pentecostal, but he also went to a fundamentalist school. So he knows both sides of it. And I've been listening to his stuff. He talks about, there's a series he does through First John about grace. And there's just a lot of resources that some of the way he talks might actually make you feel uncomfortable because you might not be used to that language. But I find how he speaks is, for me, at least a person who's struggled with a lot of the stuff he talks about, it's very useful. So I do recommend Mark DeJesus' podcast.
It's called The Healing and Freedom Journey.
Awesome.
Yes.
Very great recommendations. Thank you.
Today's conversation has shed light on the profound challenges of living with depression. Remember, experiencing depression doesn't diminish your value or worth. Even in our darkest moments, there's hope and purpose waiting to be rediscovered. The Psalms are filled with prayers from people crying out to God in despair. Psalm 88, for example, is one of the darkest Psalms and ends with the words, "Darkness is my closest friend." God included that in his word for a reason. The Bible doesn't ignore or dismiss depression. Elijah, Job, David, and even Paul went through seasons of deep sorrow. Jesus himself was called a man of sorrows in Isaiah 53:3. That alone should tell us that sadness and depression aren't things to be ashamed of.
We've learned that acknowledging our struggles is a courageous step toward healing. Seeking help and embracing vulnerability can lead to profound personal and spiritual growth.
Community plays a vital role in our mental well-being. By sharing our stories and supporting one another, we create a space where healing and understanding can flourish.
If you're struggling with depression, we want you to know that you're not alone. There is hope and there is help. Don't be afraid to reach out to a trusted friend, counselor, or pastor. And again, know that God loves you, cares for you, and knows you deeply.
And if you know someone struggling, take that time to listen, encourage, and support them. Sometimes just showing up makes all the difference.
We invite you to share your experiences with us. How have you navigated the challenges of depression or supported someone who has? Your stories can inspire and comfort others facing similar battles.
If today's episode resonated with you, please subscribe and leave a review. Your feedback helps us reach more people who might benefit from these discussions.
Join us next time as we explore how physical health affects spiritual health. From food choices to fitness habits, what effects can they have on our walk with God?
We'll also talk about what the Bible says about honoring God with our bodies and practical ways to live that out. Thanks for joining us on the Broken and Redeemed podcast. We hope this conversation encouraged you and made you think.
If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe and leave a review. It really helps others find the show.
And if you want to see what's coming next, follow us on social media.
Until then, remember to seek truth, extend grace, and stay rooted in Christ. We'll see you next episode.